Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Do you wonder what it's like to retire in Madison, Wisconsin? Well, stick with us and find out. Today we have our guest, Rick Rose. And Rick is from the Twist podcast with Mark McNeese. And Rick retired on December 31st, 2023, with 35 years and 21 Emmy Awards under his belt as a producer, writer, and director. He began his work as a public service when he was elected as Dane County, Wisconsin County Board Supervisor, for which he will aim for re-election on April 2nd, 2024. All the best to you on that. Thank you. He's an advocate for the disenfranchised, serving as a CASA, which is a court-appointed special advocate volunteer in three states, as co-chair of Pride and Prevention, focused on harm reduction within the queer PWD community, which is people who use drugs, and as a fierce feminist. He also writes regularly for The Word in Season, a daily Christian devotional, which is translated into 30 languages. He resides in Madison, Wisconsin, having moved there from Shreveport, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Rick. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. So tell our audience, you moved from Shreveport, Louisiana, to Madison, Wisconsin. Why the move? It's kind of like opposite climates. And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been following you on social. And of course, Mark and I promote you on the Twist and vice versa. So it's nice to have that opportunity. I absolutely love the way you say Shreveport, Louisiana, because that's how we say it down there. Not much else going on down there. So we got to beef it up a little bit. But yeah, the move is interesting. These days we can talk about weather, right? It's all the same anywhere anymore. So even in Louisiana, we'd have days where I'd go into the opera at night and step into the opera and it was 70 degrees outside and come out and it was 20 degrees in the course of 3 hours. And here in Wisconsin, it's the same, you know. So, but ultimately, we've also had, you know, 90 days of 100 degree weather down there. And here in Wisconsin, we might have a long haul of below zero snow every day. So, yeah, it's different. And then culturally, there's a big difference between people who grew up in the South and people who grew up in the North, right? And just talking about that last night, the warmth of Southerners was very inviting and kept me there for 11 years as a Yankee. With Northern blood, having never lived in the South. I think it was that warmth that kept me there, Mark. And I will also say it was kind of the cold that drew me back up here to Wisconsin. I love the four seasons and I love winter, which we're sitting in the middle of. And I'm delighted to look out at snow this morning. So I'm just one of those guys.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, hey, I'd rather see snow from a picture on Facebook myself. and that's why I moved from New York to Phoenix.
Yeah,
with a little stop in Florida. but I totally get it because, yeah, at least, you know what, in the freezing cold, if you want to get away to the warm weather, I know you do. Yeah. So, you know, you can go anywhere. So that's great.
Yeah, and conversely, try to encourage people to come up here, even offer them snowmobiling or something exciting. And yeah, I don't have a lot of takers.
Well, yeah, you know, there are many people who enjoy that, you know, the cold and the winter and the climate and the skiing and stuff. So you should get takers.
I hope so.
So tell us, where is Madison located in the state of Wisconsin?
Yep, it's smack dab, almost on the border to Illinois, right? So you go to the bottom of the state, almost smack dab in the center. So if you're looking at the mitten, which is kind of the shape of Wisconsin, with Door County being the thumb, just go to the bottom of the base of your hand where your wrist is, and it's right dead center in your wrist. So perfectly located, if I might say. Yep, there you go. Good.
There it is.
yeah. Quite close to Chicago, very close to Milwaukee, not far from Minnesota. So I think when you look at Midwest cities, it's perfectly located.
Why'd you pick Madison? Like, why did you choose Madison out of, you know, anywhere to move when you moved to Shreveport? What drove you?
Yeah, so I am a Wisconsinite by birth. And yeah, born on kind of closer to the Door County area for a point of reference as we talk about the hand. It was work that brought me back. You know, like we said, I just retired. And so, and a mother who's 82. And to be around them, Mark, was really important to me. I was not understanding what everybody loved about Madison. And now I will tell you 6 years later, I'm happy here and I'm happy to have retired here. Yes.
Cool. I love it. Love it. So tell us, let's get into the climate in the summers. does it get hot and humid?
It does. You know, we have a lot of lakes. I'm looking kind of at some statistics. Basically, February, March, April, you know, you're talking about 30 to 50 degrees. You get into May and you get into the summer months, you're talking, you know, early summers in the 70s, you can hit 100 degree day, but that's rare. But because we have lakes, we don't have that arid, you know, dry heat like you guys have. And we don't have, certainly you reference Florida, I reference Louisiana, we don't have that muggy hot either.
Humidity.
Yeah, it's just a perfect hot, if you will. Not too dry, not too moist.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And how much snow do you get in the winter?
We can get a lot of accumulation. You know, it varies from year to year. This year, we had a stretch of about 3 weeks where there was at least 2 feet of snow on the ground for that entirety. There's currently snow here. Snow can stretch, usually we say, from Halloween to Easter. I mean, you can see white on the ground off and on with most consistency in the middle of that. So like this time of year. Now, I will say I also do spend some time in Vilas County where my mom is. Went to high school up in Vilas County, which is way near the UP of Michigan. If we look at the mitten again, you know, we're topped with this little band that goes out, which is the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And when I go up there, you know, usually it's abundant snow for recreation, like snowmobiling and cross-country skiing, the things we talked about. But this year, sadly, I think it's the only time in history I can recall, we never even were able to open the snowmobile trails. And so we have more snow in Madison than in northern Wisconsin. So, you know what I'm referring to here. It's just unpredictable. But overall, yes, it's a wintry environment. Yes, we get a lot of snow. And yes, it is cold.
Yeah. But I'm sure that the city takes care of it and plows everything out really well.
They do. A little controversy this year, and the mayor had to respond to it. The practices of plowing are different now, and I think a lot of it has to do with people being more litigious and more danger if a school's energy shuts down from an ice storm or, you know, a bus derails because of snow. So school closure are more common, and I think that's also because we're used to a world of video, you know, having kids been educated for 2 years on the video realm. But we also practice differently. We don't use salt in the city anymore. You know, there was too much damage to cars. Yeah. So we use sand, and they'll plow, not like when we were kids, they get out and plow all the time. They had to get us to school. Now they're strategic about how they plow, and they care about safety. And so they'll encourage you just to stay in for, you know, sometimes 24 hours before they really get out and plow. So hearing the plow out there means it's safe to get back out. But I mean, they do take care of it, but, you know, people are still kind of coming down on the city of Madison for not, you know, doing it soon enough, if you will.
Got it.
Also, let me point out, because I find it interesting in my video work, I did a video on this, one of my most favorite videos. We also use cheese brine because we have so much waste from cheese processing that in cities and counties where there are cheese plants, they take that brine and they use it on the roads to melt. Yeah, it's kind of unique. It's a unique thing in Wisconsin.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it smells a little cheesy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it works.
A little cheesy.
Yeah, it is a little cheesy.
I wonder if it smells.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Yeah.
It does.
Okay. So tell us, is living in an LGBTQ plus neighborhood or community important to you? And if so, did you choose one? Does Madison have one? Does it have like a gayborhood?
Yeah. You bring up a really, you know, the first part of the question I wasn't anticipating. You know, guys that are listening, guys and gals, Mark does a great job. And we spend time together kind of talking about what we're going to talk about, which is great because it means there's a lot of thought planning into it. And I have been thinking about this all week. I didn't anticipate the first part of it. No, it is not important for me to live in a queer environment. It is not. However, I would not live in Florida not just because of the climate, but because certain states are aggressive against the queer community. So I wouldn't look to locate in a community that is anti-queer or, you know, intentfully attacking. But on the other hand, I wasn't looking for a community that had gay services and gay community and gay bars, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I am blessed. Madison is a university town. I think that's really a key part of our conversation here, Mark. You won't find a lot of natural Madisonians. As a matter of fact, I was talking to an editor who edited for the Beloit Daily News, which is where I went to college just an hour south of here. Last night, I had dinner with him and his wife, and Bill said that, and you may know this from your work, that usually a community every 5 years has shifted its population by 50% of the population has changed. That has to do with retirement, bringing people in or people going. It has to do with births. It has to do with jobs. So every 5 years, you're kind of looking at a new population. Consistently, however, because we are in a university town, I would suggest, Mark, there is a liberality and a progressiveness in Madison that we all know. You know, people refer to us as Portland. I want to say we're beyond Portland. It's a little different. It's an intellectual progressiveness that I really enjoy about being here. And therefore, the gay community is quite prevalent. We have a community group, community organization, nonprofit called Outreach. When you mentioned PIPC earlier, sitting on that Pride and Prevention team, that is a partnership between Outreach and other harm reduction facilities. So what I love about Outreach is they have incorporated into the community beyond just being queer. They just want to make sure the queer voice is heard and taken care of, whether that's harm reduction, whether that's affordable housing, whether that's food security. So I do enjoy that. And a lot of credit to my friends, Steve, AJ, Tara, all those people. I'm giving them a shout out, Mark, so I can take that. Yeah, thank you. they do great work. And I'm proud to say I live in a city. And also, if I'm going out for a cocktail at the end of the day or before a meeting of the Dane County Board, I must admit sometimes I do have one liquid libation to kind of calm my nerves. That will be at a gay bar called Shamrock. And it's probably one of the oldest bars in the Midwest. So shout out to Bobby at Shamrock for keeping that established.
Yay, Bobby.
Yay. You know how rare that is to have a community with a gay bar, right? I mean, it's not as common anymore.
Yeah, that's true. With all the apps here in Phoenix, we do have quite a few. Mm. And we have a, you know, pretty large gay community here.
That's great.
The thing is, yeah, I agree with you. As far as I would not live in a place. In fact, if you look at the HRC MEI Municipal Equality Index, they have this year said that certain states are under state of emergency, meaning cities within that state have, you know, just gone ahead and done some anti-LGBTQ bills and stuff like that to harm the community. So I would not live in any one of those states.
No, so. For sure. And to put that in context with our conversation here, I will say that when that study came out and defining for the first time, I think HRC actually used those terms that you're using, state of emergency. That is the week that I fired up as a legislator and created Trans Sanctuary for our county. I was hearing stories from parents who said their kids were afraid. You know, this was the time like you and your husband experienced in Florida when people were migrating out of Florida because they have trans kids, where parents, maybe I shouldn't get on this path because I do get emotional, but where parents were fearful to raise a child, you know? And so I stepped it up and it was very controversial. It was a very long meeting, but we were the first county in the country to do a trans sanctuary and protect our trans community as a result of the study you're sharing. So even though we're liberal and progressive here, there are still a lot of haters and there's still just a lot of people that are ignorant and lacking knowledge that we need to show that, you know, we get to hurt you. We're not here.
Thank you. And thank you for what you do. And
thank you.
And you deserve the biggest hug.
Thank you. I take it.
That hug.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. So, okay. So does Madison have actually a gayborhood? Could you walk down like streets and you see gay bars or gay establishments, businesses, or is it just integrated?
Yeah, not as your listeners would know. It's just integrated. Shamrock sits near the Capitol, but it sits in the, you know, group of other taverns. You know, we're a big tavern city, you know, old school taverns, you know, bar tops that go back 200 years. It's funny because two of the bar tops for two of the restaurants, you know, we're also in major development, right? We're in major growth. We're expecting our population to increase over the next, everywhere is facing this, but Madison in specific is growing hugely. And I think we're expecting 25,000 new people in the next couple of years. And so these older buildings are being torn down. But when they are, the bar top mark is actually preserved and given to the new building that goes there. So in one case, Silver Dollar, which is being torn down for a museum, Wisconsin History Museum, the bar will actually be the bar top in there. And in another case, one of my favorite establishments called The Avenue, which was torn down, they took the unique bar and they built it into the floor of the new Children's Symphony Rehearsal Hall, which is built there. So it's a little, you know, we're a little into our alcohol and things, but I got off track. Yeah, no. So there's no real gay neighborhoods. There are more like there's a place called, we call it Willie Street, which is Williamson Street. That's more like the Haight-Ashbury, if you will. So mm-hmm. It's going to be prone to have, you know, maybe more queer residents. Yeah. But as I'm going through my head, no, there's not like if you were moving here and you said, hey, where do I want to be near a queer community? No, I would say that, you know, we probably skew way more than what people still define as 10% of us are queer, right? That's ridiculous. But I would say there's not a neighborhood where you'd be unsafe living as a queer person.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. And why do you think Madison is going to experience so much growth in the near future?
You know, it's interesting. Before the show started here, I had told you, Mark, that U.S. News and World Report put out their best city index. And it's based on many things. These things are based on transportation, affordability of housing, quality of life, recreation, healthcare. All these good things, right? And so we were rated number 3 this year. That's phenomenal.
I think a lot
part of it is for the things we're talking about. It's we have tech jobs. There's a lot of gaming companies here. I looked at the average age of people living here. And to be quite frank, you know, we're kind of talking to the retiree community. If you don't like being around young people, don't come here. You know, it's 35 to 38 is the average median, you know, of age.
Right.
We're a little college above on the pay index. We are voted often as the safest and best place for women to live because of equality of pay. We have a lesbian mayor. My friend Satya is our mayor, one of the first elected lesbian. Yes. Yay, Satya. Now we can take her too. No, Satya's been a pure joy to work with. But because of that, I think, you know, all of those issues, and I think the progressiveness of the city environmentally, we're a great city. Just last week, I think we passed 100% renewable energy in all of our county buildings. I'm going to applaud John Welsh, who runs our...
So important.
It is. You know, these are people, he's our director of those kind of works, you know, that relate to waste management. Yeah, it's just a fun city to be in. And I think also university vibes bring a lot of people in. Yeah, all that good stuff.
Yep. It sounds like I'm going to have to pay a visit.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a great town to visit. Yeah, for sure.
So, okay. How about meeting people? I know you're very outgoing and you know a phenomenal amount of people.
Yeah. Like,
that's but how easy question. Do you think, how easy do you think it would be to make friends either in the queer community, gay community?
Yeah. And like you and I talked about in our pre-call, you know, the good, bad, and ugly, you know, I want to say overall, I'd probably give Madison a 90% pleased to retire consideration. Part of that is it's not, you know, everyone says the Midwest is so warm. I would argue that. I actually like the harshness of New York, and I like, you know, I like the hospitality of the South, like we talked about. I found LA when I moved to LA not to be a welcoming city, and I would put Madison there. I'm fearful to even say it because now we're tagging all these people. They're going to be like,
and they're not friendly.
Yeah, we give you hugs and kisses. I just wasn't making friends. You know, now I came from a community. When I moved to Shreveport, Louisiana to work in film, I was embraced by everybody. So I was connected with film industry people. These are people I hadn't talked to that were shooting there in from LA. So like Shreveport is also unique because it, unlike Madison, it has a lot of people that have lived there all their lives. But it also has a lot of freshness that comes in for 12 weeks to shoot a movie or a military base there, you know, Bossier City. So 9,500 members of the military community come and live there for maybe 2 years. So it's a very transient population on top of a core of warm and loving people. But I think what we defined here in Madison with such turnover, it's really hard to make those connections. And I will shout out to my friend Alejandra, who was my realtor, who comes from Miami, who is Nicaraguan, which ultimately I relate better to people that don't look and think like me. I've just always been that way. And there's a lot of that in Madison. And when I got, you know, that friendship, she said, you got to meet my friend Sky. Sky works in harm reduction. So therefore, I was able to move into that realm. And then through Sky, I met other people. So, you know, it's that connection. But for me, I don't feel from my experience and others that I've talked to, Madison isn't like that warm, you know, welcome wagon. If people still remember welcome wagon feeling, it's right. Not like that. You have to kind of carve it out.
You have to go out and do
now, mind something. You, I'll tell you, when I turned 59 a couple of weeks ago, I was very emotional. There were 50 people in that room that wouldn't have been in that room 5 years ago. So, and they're what I view is very solid, trusted friends. Yeah.
That's quite a bit. It's cool, I know. Yeah. I see you online and social media with a bunch of different people everywhere.
Usually women, right? Everyone's like, yep. You got so many girlfriends. Yep. I'm like, yeah, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Girlfriend.
That's
funny.
All right. How about, does it get more conservative as you go outside of Madison? How's that vibe? Or is it, you know, usually a city is very, you know, liberal and kind of safe for our community. But as you go out in the suburbs, or it gets a little less and less. Is that the same around Madison?
I would say, yeah. You know, we're talking in this era after a Trump presidency and maybe before, we won't even put it out there, but even the fact that we're considering another Trump presidency, you know, had I answered this question years ago, Wisconsin historically, you know, the capital is Madison. Wisconsin historically has been very progressive state, as we know, and usually blue. That's been lost to red, not because of Madison. I mean, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, like you referenced, Mark, those are our three largest population bases. Very different. Madison is a white-collar, urban, professional, computer-led city. Milwaukee is a little bit of a blend, but skews more still toward blue-collar. And Green Bay is definitely blue-collar. But usually those blue-collar workers also are more, you know, liberal-minded, right? They want things for their families and things like that. And Green Bay, by the way, did make that top 100 list. I think it was like number 8 or 9. So it's also a likable city. But I think beyond those pockets, yes, when I get up to Vilas County, you know, I'll refer to this. When I was 17 years old, now mind you, that was back in whatever, the 80s, I wanted out. And I applied to be a foreign exchange student. I went to Japan. I knew, and I think that relates to my comment earlier, I've always wanted something other than what I was born into. Not that I take full pride in being a white cisgendered male. I do. I'm not worried about that or ashamed by it. But you get into those pockets. I left that area. I still go up there to see my family. Now, mind you, even within my own family, I'm the only Democrat. I'm the only progressive-minded one. Do they love me? Yes. But in full disclosure, my brother and I aren't talking right now, right? Because of some political belief differences. And so I think I just hit to the core of it. It can be very dangerous. Now, mind you, get in your car, go to Chicago, go to Milwaukee, like we talked about, the other Minneapolis. Boy, there's great things happening in Minnesota, in my opinion. Great safety net up there for people, you know, with a really liberal governor. St. Paul just having its first all-women city council with, like, I think 7 of the 9 women being BIPOC. Hopefully that feeds in. But Wisconsin has become this hot seat, right? It lost Hillary the election. It's always looked at. You've got Ron Johnson and you've got Tammy Baldwin. What is that about, right? Tammy represents our voice. The other dude, whatever his name is, Ron Johnson, represents the rest of the mass of Wisconsin. But fortunately, the people by count, you know, I would say it's probably more of a progressive state still.
Do you have an escape plan?
Palm Springs, yes, immediately. Book that flight.
Do you, I kind of feel, and we were talking about this, my husband and I, we kind of feel better living in a blue state.
Really? I would bet. Yeah.
You know, but we don't live in a blue state, but it's turning blue. And then you have the situation, well, stay and turn it blue. Yeah. So,
and that's where I side, Mark, you know, like we talked before we started rolling here, you know. You know, just full disclosure, I told Mark, you know, I feel old, but still relevant. And you said it also, like, you're doing this for a reason. You want, you know, you've reached out, people are responding to you. And likewise, my public work, I want to do it in Wisconsin. I'll tell you, I've had an opportunity to go back to Shreveport. Louisiana's kind of interesting, right? It's, we know it's very red. Now a new governor in there has made it even more red. Louisiana, Wisconsin are very akin, by the way. We're party states. We like to drink, full of life. They have their foods, like they're known for their foods, right? Like gumbo and jambalaya and crawfish.
Right.
We're known for our foods, beer and cheese.
Cheese.
Yeah, it's like weird. Like there's some similarities as much as I define the differences of the two, but some innate similarities. One of those options was to go back and run for mayor in Shreveport or to run for the parish, you know. It's the only state that has parishes, not counties, for those that may not know. Right. But I think most people know. I would not do that. I don't want to be struggling against a wall. I want to be, nor would I want to be an elected official in Vilas County where my mom is. I want to be in Madison. I want to signal to the rest of the state. I want to be my city, the capital, the state capital. I can walk into the state building, you know, the Capitol building, and meet my friends that are assembly people because they're my neighbors, or get in touch with our governor. God love our governor. You know, thank God he's got veto and that the superpower isn't there. You know, we also live in a state where there's, you cannot, if you're a Democratic assembly person here in Wisconsin, Mark, you can't introduce legislation. It has to be Republican led. That is ridiculous. But that's why I'm here. I'm more of the second case. I don't like the conflict, but it motivates me. It's like that hoop of fire. You got to jump through it and not let it hold you back.
Good for you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank
applause you. For you.
Yeah, practicing my speech for April 2nd, I guess.
I'll be rooting for you.
There you go. Thank you.
Can you tell us what the local economy is like? Example of a single family home, two bedroom, two bath, approximate cost, and rental apartment, two bedroom, two bath. You have any idea?
For sure. I do. I have a lot of ideas because sitting on there, we talk about affordable housing all the time. And it's sad. I mean, I think I've heard it said that there is no such thing as affordable housing anywhere. I'm just looking up in this story that came out today. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a story about, you know, our ranking in the U.S. News and World Report. And they broke it down with what those costs are. But I will tell you that I do know that we have an average house. Maybe 1,300 square feet is going for $410,000. So, you know, just 10 years ago, I remember $100 square foot. Now we're talking about $400 square foot.
Yeah, it's up there.
Yeah, right. We've had supply chain, whatever. But yeah, my friend Ale, we hang, and she just closed a house. And how big is it? She showed it to me for a young couple just starting out, $410,000. But also this week, I had conversations with friends saying, these young couples that are moving here because it's a good place to live, like we described for youngsters, they can't afford to own a house. So that leads us to renting, right? I was with my friends, I'm going to shout out because we can tag them, Tom and Cassie, the other day with another friend. Rochelle is a board supervisor like me, but on the younger side. We're on the east side of town, which is more of I'm on the east side of town, a little more progressive, artsy. West side is a little more established, maybe suburban. People probably hate me saying it, but you get it for point of reference. Yeah. They're paying $1,700 for a one-bedroom apartment.
Wow.
When I first moved here, I paid $1,000 5 years ago for a 550-square-foot, studio apartment.
Studio.
Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they do say, let's see, monthly rent. Yeah. So here. Yeah, we're above the index for what most people make. We're at 58. I think we're at 58,000 national average, 51,000 or something like that. So on par with what people are getting. Food costs are cheap. Energy costs is really cheap. I know you were going to ask me about that. Like,
yeah,
I think my utility bills.
Utilities.
I do pay for my own water, garbage pickup, electric, all that stuff. I have a fireplace. I think I pay maybe $150 a month for those services. That's not a lot.
That's
for
not
cold
bad.
Winters, it's not a lot at all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just the opposite here.
Really?
Yeah, well, in the winter, even though it gets down to the 30s, but not for long, it kind of warms up during the day.
Right.
But our electric bills in the winter are very low, $70.
Oh, nice.
Whereas in the summer,
yeah,
it's like $250.
That's crazy.
Yeah, at least. We've had bills. We just replaced our HVAC on our old system. We topped, and we're in a condo. We're in a two-bedroom, two-bath, 1,700 square feet condo, and we reached $300 plus
wow.
for the summer, you know, electricity.
That's crazy. Yeah, the exact numbers, the average annual salary in Madison is 59.5. The average national average is 58.2. So we're just above that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
So groceries are pretty good as far as prices.
Yeah, if you like dairy, you won't see better cheese cases or ice cream cases. And you can go in and buy a pint of ice cream, special ice cream, you know, for $4. Or you can buy a gallon of milk for $2. Butter is cheap. But
I
if you're not
up on my cholesterol meds.
Yeah, there you go. Or if you're lactose intolerant. No, some of those things, you know, we're still farming community. You can go to a local butcher. I know those are trending now. Charcuterie boards are trending. That's always been a thing in Wisconsin. You know, like last night I was at a restaurant in Beloit and you could get a ribeye. This is rare because this is owned by a butcher company that decided to make a restaurant. I got a ribeye, not a ribeye, a prime rib, which is a big thing in Wisconsin, for like $16. That's rare. Wow. Northern Wisconsin might spend $32, but there are places in Madison where you can still dine for lunch at $10, which is rare, as you and I know.
That is good.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the exception to the rule. But when you get to know a city and the nuances, you know, that is another factor, by the way. I think we have the largest privately owned restaurants per capita than anywhere in the country. We do have box restaurants, but we have tons of, you know, international, global foods that are owned by individuals, and that's pretty exciting to me.
Great. So so we'll talk about, might as well talk about the foodie scene.
It's
so
big.
Is there, like, do you have 5-star Michelin rated restaurants?
We do. We had a James Beard winner out of a restaurant called Fairchild last year. We have 3 James Beard nominees this year. One is my friend Vata. Call out to her. She has a place called Kokova Chocolate. She does pastries and chocolate. And so she's up for a James Beard Award. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. You're going to pay $5 for a piece of chocolate, but it's good chocolate.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We have another place called something in Plenty. Pardon me. It's on the west side. But they got a James Beard for hospitality. Like, that's a weird James Beard Award. For those that don't know, the James Beard Award's like the Oscars for food. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's tons of places like that. I will tell you, just up the road from me on County Ann is a place called Chicken Licks. And it is the best chicken wings in the entire country. And it's one of those things, like, you tell your friends that are visiting, like, do you like chicken wings? And they're like, yes, I love them. You're like, you're going to have the best. And then they go and they hate it, you know, or, you know, it's like you tell about a great movie and they don't like it. And you're like, shit. I'm never, ever worried saying that because every time I bring someone in from Kentucky, New York, Reno, Nevada, they agree these are the best chicken licks. And they're $10 a pound. So it's a good value.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Chicken licks.
Yeah.
Nice.
Getting me hungry.
Yeah. You like chicken you like chicken wings?
Well, I try to stay away as much as possible because of, you know, when you get old. Shit happens.
So. Well, yeah, they do an interesting thing called sexy. You know, they have the off menu thing. Like, they don't advertise sexy, but sexy style wings, you can go from a 1 to 10, and that determines how much habanero, dry habanero they'll put on it. So, yeah, it's one of those kind of places you would want to stay away from.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got the milk to cool yourself, Mark. So you're good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll, forget it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and milk. Deep on this. I'll regurgitate. No.
Yeah. You just can't win at our age sometimes with our bodies.
I can't.
Yeah.
I know. Nope. Yeah. Getting old sucks. But at least it's better than the alternative.
For sure.
But anyway, does Madison have an arts and culture scene?
It sure does. No, it's quite huge. I mean, I think, you know, and I came from Louisiana where the music scene, no matter where you are, is big. And I think that we should emphasize our music scene more. We have a really good music scene. There is now a presenting company called Frank Productions. They have a couple of venues that they own, a couple they present at. And it's good stuff. Jonathan Van Ness was just here. And now, mind you, I have a personal connection. I know him. I know his mom. And it was great to come and see him. But to see that packed house responding to him goes back to our earlier point. You know, it may not be, you know, that we're living in Palm Springs, but we're living in a city where, and I will tell you, I would say 80% of that audience were straight identifying cis folks. And just the fact they understand non-binary and understand what Jonathan stands for, it was so heartwarming. And that's Frank Entertainment. They just announced Robert Plant and Alison Krauss coming for a show at one of their venues. Yeah, I just saw Violent Femmes, which is a Wisconsin band. I don't know if you know that, but they just came to one of these venues and played music. And then we have small music venues, you know, with local musicians. And that's really nice. And they range, you know, country's big in Wisconsin, not so much here, but you can go out and see a country band. On New Orleans, on Fat Tuesday last week, I could go to two different options where they were playing jazz music, you know, like good jazz music. As far as the visual arts, yeah, I actually am proud to say that I'm sitting on my second Dane County Arts Commission panel as a panelist to judge those. And it's really worthy. Last one, we gave some dollars to Martin Luther King Day celebrations, which included dance and music and spoken word. We have a comedy scene here. I got to shout out to my friends on comedy on State Street. You know, we get acts in that are huge. Yes, we get tons of Saturday Night Live. Punky Johnson was here not too long ago. A lot of the Colin Jost from Saturday Night Live was here. Tyler Tomlinson, who has her own series now, she came and recorded stuff there. So the comedy scene, Mark, is really good. And then we also have an alt community, you know, speaking to our audience, those deviants that are on the LGBTQ spectrum. We have a burlesque scene here that is huge. And we have a club here called Crucible that does different events. They actually do S&M events. They do Rocky Horror Picture Show. They do reading. They do things that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily, you might find obscurely on the back street, but these are known events that my friends participate in. So,
right.
You got me excited. I forget how good our art scene is here. It's really quite good.
There you go. And theater and you.
Oh, yeah. We have the Overture Center. We had production of Les Mis here last night, but we'll also have small venues in there. We have a family called the Frouchy family. So they also own Mrs. Frouchy, who still goes by her maiden name. She created American Doll, which was based, American Girl, which was based here in Madison. Now, sadly, it's in a little community called Middleton, which is an offshoot of Madison. Sadly, they announced they're moving the corporate office to Mattel's corporate office. Mattel had acquired them years ago, so we're laying off 30 people, which is sad. But yeah, that family has given so much to our community in the arts. So yeah, we're fully funded. Shout and we have out. Lots of patrons. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Yep.
Wow, that's definitely impressive.
It is.
All right. So how about public transportation? I hate driving.
Do you really?
I'm a native New Yorker.
Yeah.
So I rode the subways all my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then when I moved to Florida, I was kind of forced into driving. So I had to drive to and from work and stuff like that.
Yeah. But were you in Orlando? I forget.
No, I was in a suburb of Tampa.
So you dealt with traffic every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bumper to bumper. Every day. I remember one day I was stopped at a red light. And the light turns green. I take my foot off the brake.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, why isn't this going?
Oh, no.
Why isn't this? And just picture miles of traffic in the back of me with lanes, like four lanes.
I can't.
And I was up front. And when the light turned green and I couldn't go, and I'm like this. I'm like this in the car, like, move.
Oh.
And it just didn't, the battery died just like that.
Oh.
And yeah, it wasn't fun. But there was a nice, good Samaritan who came out of his car and helped me push it off to the side.
Oh.
So
that's my biggest nightmare. It is.
Yeah. It's awful. I was like, oh my God, what do I do? You know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan really of driving. And here in Phoenix, we have the light rail right across the street from where we live. So that could get us around, but we do have a car and hubby tends to be the major driver.
That's
so
nice.
Like when he gets injured and has to go into surgery and can't drive, I'm like, all right, I have to drive to the store. Okay. So, yeah, but I'll get over it. Yeah. But anyway, does Madison have public transportation?
Yeah, I will say overall, I just looked back in 2019, even WalletHub voted us number 5 for public transportation and number 3, according to livability.com, for best places to live in 2019, mostly due to transportation. Now, I will say, is it a city you can go without a car like you're suggesting, Mark? I'd say we're working toward that, but we're not there yet because we are an isthmus city. I should point out, we're one of the few isthmus cities. Isthmus is different than an island. We have a small, narrow passage with Lake Mendona on one side, Lake Monona on one side. Literally, you can be on So our main corridor is called Washington. And so East Washington goes from the east side to the Capitol. West Washington continues on from the Capitol out to the west side, which I was describing earlier. Very unique design. You get to the Capitol area, which is the dead center of a community of 600,000 people, you know, only 250 in the city, but 600,000 Madison proper. You can see the lake to the left and the lake to your right. It's that narrow of a strip. So we have Beltline, which goes around. We have different ways around it. You can go country roads. We still have a lot of those, which are beautiful to drive. But I would say I have one friend, and I have a lot of friends, only one friend I know who does not own a vehicle, and she lives in the heart of the Isthmus. But she does have those car services where you can rent a car for an hour or 2 hours. We have bikes that are available. We don't have the little scooters. I think our city views them too dangerous. If you go to the university or work in the heart of the Isthmus, which most of that would be university employees or university students, some university, you know, people like you and I who have went to the university have never left Madison or returned to Madison. Even professors who have left and come back to Madison because they loved it, they usually settle in downtown. That's State Street is the main street there. There you would not need a vehicle. But then our new public transport, we just put a lot of money into it. A lot of applause again to Satya. She's recognized by the Biden administration. Pete Buttigieg's husband was here. She did a private party for him. I think she's in tune with what's going on transportation needs. And we just did a whole new, we're in the process of changing it, but June 1st it launched. They're electric transportation. They go out to our little communities like Middleton, I refer to, on the east side of the community of Sun Prairie, which is the hometown of George O'Keefe, might I point out, just 2 minutes from me. So you can grab those. They are putting heated pads out. So they've just reconstructed along that whole route to put heated pads. They have bike ability where you don't have to strap it on. There's like room for five bikes because biking is a big thing. So may not be your thing, Mark, but if you're a bicyclist, there are trails everywhere. I could bike to work. I could bike downtown. A lot of companies have showers built into them. A lot of companies have yoga rooms built in because we're a very healthy community as well. I think we're the number one city for Ironman, one or two in the country. We were host for 5 years to the CrossFit competition here in Madison. So Madison is known to be a fit city. So a lot of transportation can also be natural transportation. And we're a small enough footprint that you can use that.
Now, you mentioned heated pads. Is that like a place to wait for transportation?
Yeah, like standing on a heated floor
like
in your bathroom.
Standing on a heat. Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah,
and
it's important.
Do you have like light rail or trolleys or?
Well, we are the state of Mr. Walker, who killed unions when he was governor. Scott Walker, who still gets me irate when I think about his leadership, denied the federal dollars that were coming in for a light rail. God only knows why. But we are now on the list to be a center for Amtrak. So we're looking at three locations in Madison to locate Amtrak. And so that'd be very good. Okay. We are, you know, conversely, we're in a bad spot for sex trafficking, for drug running, because we are between Minneapolis and Chicago, right? And so there's a lot of that going on. I think that's in every city, but I would suggest we probably have more of an issue than Phoenix because of where we're located. But at the same time, that rail, that Amtrak will be a vital piece to move people through, you know, on longer trips and be able to benefit from them, maybe spending a night in Madison. Like your listeners might want to say, hey, I'll stay in Madison, right? Who knows?
That's right.
Look
that's
me
right.
Up, guys. I'll show you again. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, yeah, Amtrak has to do a better job at what they do.
Because I think so too.
I think we're so far behind Europe. Ugh. Like you look at Europe and they have these bullet trains and they have rails that you can get anywhere. And in fact, they stop. I know Spain is like halting local flights to different parts of Spain because they want everyone to use the rail and it's quicker.
Oh, that's interesting.
Cheaper. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We can guide use, right? We can have foresight in these master plans to do that. So I'm looking forward to that. I will say, too, we have a regional airport that is phenomenal. Dane County Airport. We just put an expansion on. Kim Jones is the director there. Shout out to Kim. But it's great. And we passed a rule in Dane County that, for instance, the bathrooms aren't just handicapped with a changing table. They're adult changing tables. They're very expensive. I think they're like $35,000 each. But we are requiring in any new building that we put, you know, we're really big on equity here in this city. Just looked at a master plan for a park, a county park. A lot of conversation in the the other day was not about accessibility for those of us that are older and don't walk well anymore, or anybody that's got a disability. We don't want to segregate anybody any longer in a disabled parking lot with five handicap spots and then your family's parking over here. No, they are really, our park director, Laura Hicklin, is really working on integrating that. So we're not looking at accessibility anymore. We're looking at inclusivity and how we all experience it. Not like, here's the Braille plaque anymore. Oh, I get emotional about this. It is really a wonderful city if you are, you know, if you are lacking mobility and you have other challenges. It is a wonderful city to look for those equal rights you have. We really protect those rights here, and we go a long way to make that happen. And you will see it when you travel. You're going to go, wow, that's an adult changing table. Maybe only used once
a day.
That's
impressive.
Thank you. I'm super proud of
that. That's impressive, and it's important.
It is important. And even the messaging of that, just sharing that to your listeners,
oh, yeah,
makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay to Rick.
Yeah, this is for Dane County.
Dane County.
Yeah, I'm really not using this for politics. I really, from my heart, having been an elected official, I encourage any of you in retirement to really consider it. It's a wonderful
way. Oh, yeah.
Way.
I mean, it's great. This is what this podcast is all about. I want to find out, and our audience to find out what it's really like living in a place. So,
it's great. Yeah,
cool. It is great. And that's what I want to bring. So,
you're doing it.
Yes. Kudos. So on to the next.
Oh, real quick.
Healthcare.
Real quick before we hit healthcare, big topic. In the arts world, being a movie file, we lack good arts movies, which is weird, right? You're looking at me like, the hell? You got all this going on. You don't bring in good arts movies? One theater on the West Side, and I will go and waste gas to go see that movie because I want to see it on a big screen. I'm not a little screen guy. But just so you know, if you're looking to live in a city where you can be fed by international film and queer film, it ain't Madison. So just throwing it out there. We got some work to do.
Got it. Thank you.
Healthcare. What's your question? Sorry. I got excited.
Healthcare. So are there a sufficient number of doctors to the population? How long is a wait? If you need to see a specialist, how close is the nearest hospital? How many hospitals does Madison have?
Yeah, that's good. You know, you look at hospitals are one of those love hates, right? They run like a nonprofit and people donate to them. It's like, what the hell are you donating to them? They're charging me a fortune. As a matter of fact, okay, let me step back. We have UW-Madison here, which is huge, and it's a huge medical community. So we have tons of residents. So let me give you the example. My mom, who's 82, will drive down, or someone will drive her down, and she has all of her medical providers here. She goes to a geriatric doctor. She has a orthodontic doctor. She has everything here. She will go out of her way to Madison. It's just a three-hour drive, three and a half hours to get the care she needs. I, myself, who have lived in LA during the AIDS pandemic, who have dealt with prediabetes in my life, who have eye issues, you know, like major eyesight issues, I have never in my life had better healthcare because of the UW. We have an insurance company that works with them called Quartz, $30 copays maybe. We have Badger Care for people that are, you know, not quite on I always get them confused, but not quite old enough to
Medicare.
Be on Medicare. You can get Medicaid. Or if you're unemployed, Medicaid is great. You pay $5 copay. It's free teeth cleaning, free, you know, whatever. I have many friends that have faced unemployment because of age insecurities. In full disclosure, I am currently on Badger Care, right? I retired. I didn't have something set up to carry on my insurance. I'm not making enough because right now I'm figuring out what I want to do with my life, Mark. I'm probably living off of $2,000 a month, and I'm doing okay. Mind you, I have a roommate, you know, given the cost of whatever. I have a big place, so having a roommate is nice with my travels. He's kind enough to take care of my plants and stuff. But I'm on Badger Care, and I am so grateful for it. So I think we have equality and pretty good equity. We have three major hospitals. I think healthcare is abundant. There are great practitioners here. A lot of research being done that comes out of Madison. We have a program called UW Extension. Again, shout out to my friend Carrie who runs that, where they take the studies that are coming out of the UW, whether they're agricultural studies or medicinal studies, and they make them transferable to the public, either through workshops or classes or, you know, what the extension does. They run 4-H. But it's great. So we have this – we're not separated. Like, here's UW, and here we are, like a lot of college cons. It's integrated into our lives. So that's a wonderful
thing.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
Yeah, I'm very healthcare happy with our healthcare.
It's so important. Healthcare is one of the most important things. Like, you know, Phoenix is pretty good.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
You have a Mayo down there too, don't you, somewhere in Arizona?
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have Mayo. It's in North Phoenix or Scottsdale border right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, quality healthcare.
It's important for anybody.
Although I don't know if I can get in there. Like if you need something, it's like you have to make an appointment. And, you know, they're so like high, you know.
Yeah.
Upper crusty and.
Yeah. That's an issue here too. You know, I'm fortunate. I have a mental health provider. I have a physical health provider. And the wait wasn't as long when I moved here 5 years ago. So I think what you're describing is probably more of a national crisis than. I don't know from people you've interviewed, but I think that is a pervasive national issue.
It is. And it's time we did something about that too.
I'm not ready to run for U.S. anything. I don't think we want to take you. Neither you or I want to take that on.
No, but you know what? Healthcare shouldn't be a privilege.
Amen. And again, let's learn from our European friends. Listen, yes. I'm all about socialism. And I think Madison is a perfect city to explore socialism, but we're not there yet. So,
yep. Okay. So,
did we lose some viewers on that comment? Are we losing some folks?
No.
Okay.
So, how far is the hospital? I mean, like, let's say you have an emergency. Yep. Is it like half hour, 15 minutes?
No, that's an excellent point. So, like I said, we have an east side, west side. It's very akin to any, like you said, Phoenix and Scottsdale, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Bossier City and Shreveport. We have everything on the east side, we have on the west side, right? There's a TJ Maxx on both sides. There's whatever. We have the same with hospitals. Now, I will say where I'm fortunate is I am literally 5 minutes from most of my care providers on the east side.
That's
we built
great.
A brand new hospital complex, when it's good for the UW. We'll focus on female health. We'll focus on transgender health, which is awesome. We'll also focus on oncology. Emergency room here, but sometimes you have to go to the big hospital, if you will, on the west side. And that the farthest it would take me to get there would be 25 minutes. So
that's fine. Yeah,
it's doable, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, accessible for sure, physically.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's talk a little bit about crime, even though we don't like to really talk about it, but it's everywhere, unfortunately. It is. What is it like in Madison, and what's the homeless population also like?
Ooh, yeah, the unhoused community is larger here than I would like it to be, especially in a cold environment. You know, I remember when I lived in LA and go to Santa Monica, it's like, you know, basically those people aren't going to die from the cold. We do lose people. Last year, I think we lost two residents.
That's what I should call it, houseless.
I think that's a new thing.
Is
unhoused
it?
Or,
I think I heard think you on the twist.
Yeah, yeah, that. I think we did on the twist. I mean, frankly, I'm just learning these words because I have to as a elected official. And it makes more sense. You know, like, truthfully, we don't refer to the people living in our jail as inmates. That's ridiculous. These are residents, just like we are. They just happen to be in there. And so, again, honestly, Mark, that's the tone of Madison. You know, you may have listeners that are going, wow, that's way too out there. I'm liberal, but that's way too out there. But I got to warn you, if you come to Madison, that's just the way we speak and
that's the way it is.
Yeah. And I will tell you, I always describe it this way. If I bump into someone in the store because I'm ignorant and didn't see them, they apologize for being in my way before I can apologize that I hit them. It's just this wonderful place that way. But back to your point, I think this study that I keep referring to, one of the factors is they look at crime. I think, let's see, a large part of it is, you know, quality of life and safety issues. We had 10 homicides last year in Madison. That's pretty low. Now, I will say, two of them were children and teenagers in the district I represent. And a lot of it has to do with how we're approaching affordable housing right now. We're moving it out to the east side where we don't have youth centers. And so this is a major issue we're working on. We have the land. We're building these complexes. We're putting people in there that are already challenged, mostly based on the fact that they're people of black or brown skin. In Madison, we call it the tale of two cities. I'm going to be honest with you. And we do struggle still with racial equality. As progressive-minded as we are and in action we are, we still haven't taken that in. So we have the highest level of black male incarceration of anywhere in the country. Wow. Black folks make $30,000 less a year than white folks. We have a lot of single moms that are black that are dealing with the kids. And in both of these cases, this young boy and young girl that were killed, they were both single moms in the same freaking building, because we're building this without building community. And this is an issue. So overall, you can say, wow, Madison's safe, you know, and honestly, I have female friends, you know, they don't think like you and I, Mark. Like, I finally realized a few years ago, like, if I was women, I'd have to think of safety different, because I'm a cis man. I don't, you know, but my female friends will walk downtown on the Cismas and feel so safe, which they wouldn't do when they're in Colorado even. But the problem is, it is safe that way. And there was years, I think there was like I'm not exaggerating here, maybe a 20-year stretch where there wasn't a homicide in Madison. It just didn't exist. Wow. And now with, again, national issues, you know, gun availability, all that kind of stuff, you know, we're running a risk. And we're really finding it in youth in Madison. And that is a problem. And it's Black youth. And so I don't have more to say about it. You know, truthfully, that's not your community. You're probably very safe. But until everyone's safe, none of us are safe. And so, Right. Yeah. So it is somewhat of an issue, but that's pretty low compared to other people you talk to, right? I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm comparing it to, well, Phoenix is probably 10 times the size, but
yeah.
And we get 10 homicides maybe a day.
Yeah. I mean, Shreveport, Louisiana, one of the most dangerous places to live. It's awful.
Yeah. So yeah, you're doing good on the crime scene too. Mm-hmm. And the homeless population, the government is doing something to get them off the streets.
They are. We have, you know, at least what we start with is bringing it to the attention of the community. We do, you know, press releases and forums and, you know, elected officials and people working in those departments will bring it up. We do have an issue, again, talking about youth, because we're growing so fast and we have a lot of youngsters. Because with those 38-year-old people, most of them have kids, right? My pastor this morning shared at church. Our church, the average number in a Christian church of adults to kids is 10 to 1. 10 adults for every kid. Our church is 3 to 1, 3 adults to 1 kid. And that is typical in Madison. You will see a lot of kids. You will see a lot of single moms because, again, the safety issues for women, transgender freedoms, you know, I have tons of single moms that have transgender kids and they feel safe raising them here, and healthcare equality. But we have to work on this youth issue. So if you're a retiree that doesn't want to be around kids, or pets, frankly, we allow pigs in our city. Now I think we allow chickens in our city. Now they're doing a hearing to allow goats. Again, we're a little too liberal. No, Mark, it's for real. I just was talking to the mayor the other day. She's like, yeah, Rick, I think we're going to get goats in the city now.
And then you're going to have goat milk.
Exactly.
But you're going to milk them.
Right? But if you – honestly, and I get it. I get if you don't want to be around youth. Madison's probably not for you. But if it is, just know you're going to also hear – stories of the challenges we have with youth. And back to my point, Madison Municipality School District, MMSD, put out a study of how many unhoused, again, this is where I get emotional, youth there are. There are a lot of kids in our school system that live in a car or are youth that are in a guardianship situation, you know? And so, yeah.
Is there an organization, like I know we have an organization here in Phoenix for unhoused youth that are LGBTQ.
That's fantastic. We need to do more work in there, but yes, we do have programs. But I will tell you, as a court-appointed special advocate, I had a young man that was not getting along with his foster home, could not by court be returned to his home for that day. And as his ward, it was on me. Oh, by then I actually was not his advocate. I had become his guardian. So I was his guardian of a state. He had turned 21. And I'll be damned, I couldn't find a bed for him anywhere. You know, and that was heartbreaking. And in Wisconsin, a guardian is not allowed to take the child in their home. A lot of states, the guardian often takes care of that child. Wisconsin's not the case. But there, it's lacking. It's there. We know it. Yeah, I think this conversation made me very aware of areas I need to be poking and others that I can continue to bring on. So thank you, Mark, for that gift to me.
Thank you, Rick. Works both ways.
Yes.
So what do you wish you have in Madison that you don't have that you might have had elsewhere, like Shreveport?
I'd say immediately a film scene. We had it in Shreveport. It's a wonderful place called Robinson Film Center. Always had new movies and programming and a restaurant upstairs. And it's one of those, you get the food and bring it down. Mm-hmm. Even we have one venue that still does that. Our other venue that's huge, you still got to get the food and bring it in. We don't have this. And honestly, we don't have a movie going. I think maybe this is national, everybody's streaming, but like, God, love film, man. I mean, and having worked in film, I guess I know the artists behind film, Mark, are film artists. They're not TV artists. They're designing these projects to be seen on a big screen. We got to keep that alive here in Madison. And so, yeah, I think I miss that the most. And I miss crawfish. I miss crawfish a lot. I miss seafood. I mean, yeah, we have okay sushi, but being where we're located, we're kind of lacking of some of the wonderful gifts that you may get in LA or in New York. I'm sure you miss right. a lot of the food experience in New York, right?
Oh, I do.
Ooh. Yes.
That's yeah. Awful. I mean, I grew up with, I don't know, the delis and, you know,
Chinese food,
Chinese food, everything. No. Just walk through Manhattan, Little Italy, Chinatown. Even a good steak at Peter Luger.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, I miss the food in New York.
Me too. But have you ever done a segment on Vegas?
I have not. And if you know somebody, let me know.
I probably do. I mean, that's a pretty up and coming city for the food scene.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I am looking for somebody from Vegas.
Cool.
So.
Oh, but they got to be a retiree, right? All my friends there are young. That's okay.
I'll find someone. Yeah, but if you come across somebody, let me know.
Sure.
So, okay. And what are the cons? I know we went over a few, but living there, you're there for 6 years now, right?
Right.
And what would you say are the biggest cons?
I think still I feel a little isolated. This is just personal. Like, I want to live near a body of water, and we have the Great Lakes, which are a wonderful gift. When I was in Milwaukee, I lived in Milwaukee for 9 years. It was different. We lived on an inland sea, right? It was one of the five Great Lakes. Lake Michigan was nearby. Mm-hmm. Personally, there's a lot of outdoor recreation, no doubt. You can drive 3 hours and, you know, even in be in the middle of wildlife. I sit out here. I can see a wild turkey on my street right now. We have blue herons that are abundant down here for some reason. We wow. have deer, you know, like it's that's there. But I just think, you know, we have state parks, we have county parks, they're all wonderful. But I think being isolated, you know, even in the food stuff we're talking about, or, you know, just think of it, where we're located is kind of Midwest, middle, you know, it does, and it kind of lacks a sense of pedestrian. Like, I do miss, you know, my friends come to Louisiana, like, you're so clean. The city is so clean. And they are right. We're a German-run city, right? There's, I think, 74% of us have German heritage here. And, you know, probably all suffer with OCD. But the reality is, I miss a little funk, Mark. I miss being on edge in New York. You know, I'm not sounding arrogant, but it's sometimes too safe here for me. Like, I like to...
A little excitement.
You get it, right? You'll never find a bathhouse here, you know. Not that I'm a bathhouse guy anymore, but
But
I'm very accepting of a community that, you know, is welcoming to those things. So I, it's a little different that way. Yeah,
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah,
but as far as water is concerned, too. I mean, Palm Springs has really no.
I know, right?
No Phoenix water too.
But you've got the mountains in both, right? I mean, get out and hike and stuff. We don't really have that, right? Like skiing. Cross country, like we referred to, but downhill, nah, there's nothing really. I mean, there are, but it's so.
I just did a, speaking of Midwest, I just did a podcast on Saugatuck.
Oh my God, talk about a great queer community, right? It always was. I won't tell you what they used to call it. Do you know what they used to call it?
No.
For gay men? Well, it kind of rhymed with Saugatuck, but we won't get into that. it's an art scene too, right? There's a huge art scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I enjoyed the conversation. It's great. So
I want to listen to that one. That's cool.
Yeah, it should come out in a few weeks.
Cool.
Yeah. So, okay. In wrapping up, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about relocating to Madison?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the German thing just aroused in me. It's the spirit of Gemütlichkeit. So Gemütlichkeit is really just this hospitable word, like come and party with us. It's similar to Louisiana where we say bon temple. I don't speak French. I speak German, but you know, let the good times roll with Mardi Gras parades and stuff. Wisconsin has that spirit of Gemütlichkeit. You know, whether it's found in our Oktoberfests, we have a lot of celebrations. Milwaukee, I mean, Summerfest is the largest music celebration in the entire country. Built around Summerfest are all these week-long. They have an Italian fest, an Irish fest. There are more people in Milwaukee during Irish Fest than there are in Dublin. It's like Irish people, like they fly to be in our thing. So I think if you like festivals and you like to get out and do things that experience cultures that are still protected. Like, you know, like we honor European cultures here. We still celebrate if you're Czech. Like, I get in trouble sometimes. I'm like, what's your ethnicity? And people are like, what the fuck are you asking me that for? Pardon me. But because I love it, you know. It's not safe asking those questions much anymore in LA or Phoenix. You know, that's off guard. So there's that. But then there's that sense of respect that I talked about, you know, and truly community involvement, having your voice heard. It's wonderful. Last week at our board, we passed an anti-Semitic language resolution, Islamophobia, and passed a resolution for ceasefire that was sent to Baldwin and Johnson and the president to ask for a ceasefire. These came about by the citizens of Madison in Dane County. So, you know, I think we're one of only 10 cities that did a ceasefire thing. You can say that's really not in your purview, but if we don't signal how we feel here to the greater world, that's a problem. So, yeah, so that's what I would tell you. If you want to come and have a good time and are a little on the liberal progressive spectrum, this is the place for you.
Great, great. And Do you have Native American community?
I'm so glad you asked. We sure do. We have.
And I don't mean to interrupt you, but if you hear drums in the background, I happen to live across the street from one of the largest Native American museums.
Come on.
I don't know if in the United States or the world, but it's called the Heard Museum. And I'm right across the street and they're having a festival right now as we speak.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you go or you've been, obviously?
Well, I'm right across the street. So I kind of, you know, when I'm walking the dogs, I see, and it's huge. It's like they have tents out there and yeah, it's crazy.
That's so cool. Yeah. I will say in a lot of my work over those 35 years, in a lot of the Emmys, one of the recent Emmys was on a Ho-Chunk artist that I won an Emmy for, working on that with my friend Casey Brown, who is a member of the Ho-Chunk community. We are on Ho-Chunk land. I did a tour recently with some legislators from the oral perspective of Native Americans that our school do go to school. We are the first university to pass full scholarship for anybody with indigenous blood. You can get a free ride at UW.
Wow.
We have 11 federally recognized tribes here in Wisconsin. They go from Ojibwe to like I said, the Oneida Nation, but also the Menominee Nation, Potawatomi. I worked at the Potawatomi Casino. We have a lot of casinos in Wisconsin. A lot of retirees like casinos. We have a lot of Native casinos.
Yes, they do.
They do not serve free alcohol. So that's one rule in Wisconsin makes us a little different from gambling. We have two urban casinos, one in Madison and one in Milwaukee. We're building a new one in Beloit. But then if you look at the heritage, yes, we just funded a new heritage center for $200,000. I'm very proud that I did a resolution for honoring Indigenous Peoples Day. And so we're one of the first counties, I think the second county in the country to do Indigenous Peoples Day as a holiday for the county. Yeah, thank you. And so, yeah, that we are really embracing, you know, I'm glad we ended up here because we're taking it back to the roots of it. But when I did that college tour, what really touched me, we have more mounds, you know, Native mounds than anywhere in the country, if not the world. And we literally, if we recognize those, and I will predict within 20 years, we could be a UNESCO site. That's what our tour guide was telling us. It's so pervasive. And finally, as you know, with the movement of really honoring that with land, you know, acknowledgements and things like that. Yeah. I mean, you live in a place that's totally filled with that in general, anywhere you go, but we're finally recognizing that. How did you even know to ask that question? I'm curious. Did you know Wisconsin had a bit of it?
I just heard your previous conversations, maybe on The Twist.
Okay. Gotcha.
About that. So I was like, oh, that's a good question to ask.
Yeah.
Cause
yeah. No, it is.
Fact, and the drums are going right now.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. I love drumming services. But my friend actually is the executive director of what's called Native American Tourism Association, whatever. So what they do is they promote Native American tourism now. So that could be anything from going into Bad River or Red Cliff and going through, you know, the reserve and experiencing kayaking or natural beauty. But it could also involve learning the history of the mounds. So we are really building out tourism. My friend Kimberly's really working on building out tourism that still respects it. One of the big festivals that I referred to earlier was the largest in the country. It was called Indian Summer, founded by some friends of mine. It ran for 25 years. They just ran out of funding, but they had an arts circle and they had an education and it was great. So the celebration continues here. We're also close to Canada. So, you know, there's a lot of that going on. So yeah.
Great. I'm glad I asked that.
Yeah, I am too. I got excited.
All right, Rick. Well, I want to thank you so much for, you know, joining us on the podcast. It was really, it's definitely an experience. I really knew nothing about Madison. And now I leave with a feeling like, you know, that's a place I want to visit.
Well, you are always welcome here with your husband. And
thank you.
And I mean that from my heart. Like, I have a good, I'll take you to Shamrock. I know you do. I'll have a good time. I'll show you a good time.
I know you do. I know you do. And I know we'd have a great time.
For sure. Oh, thanks, Mark, for this opportunity. And thank you all for listening.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll talk soon. Okay, Rick? Thank you again.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.